Commercial real estate has endured an interesting 12 months in Southwest Florida. And so far, 2021 has been a strong year on the commercial side of the business. But what will conditions be like in 5, 10, or 20 years? Does Southwest Florida have the infrastructure in place to build an even better future? We put those and other questions to Justin Tebow, president of LSI Companies of Fort Myers, and LSI data wizard Nelson Taylor, who give their perspectives beginning right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I'm your host, Jim Sandville, coming to you from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. We are the show that talks about real estate. We talk about things that realtors care about, home buyers, home sellers. If you are any of those people, stay tuned because you are probably going to learn something that will help you in your pursuit of real estate, no matter what angle you're attacking it from. The guest that I have on today, and by the way, I'm joined here in the studio by Jerry Johnson. I was remiss in not identifying you, Jerry.
You were remiss.
Yeah, I don't want to get too remiss.
I'm here.
Yeah. You're here doing okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing good.
Yeah?
It's like we've been in the studio all day today. It's weird.
Yeah. What was that cleaning detail that we were on?
The cleaning crew's knocking on the door.
Yeah. So.
No, but it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. So in any event, we have some interesting guests today from the commercial real estate field. We have Justin Tebow, CCIM, from LSI Companies. He's president and partner. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you very much. Here I am.
Great to have you back in the studio.
Absolutely.
We also have one of Justin's colleagues at LSI Companies. His name is Nelson Taylor, Market Research Director. Nelson, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic of you to come back. We really appreciate that. The first time we had you in a studio, we talked about what is commercial real estate, how does it work, and a few odd questions that have been nagging me for many years that I finally got out of my system. And you were back in the studio. We talked about the current market conditions for real estate. Now we want to go someplace where few have gone before, into the future. Jerry, do we have future music?
Let me see. Listen real close. Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah,
wasn't that cool?
That was the same music they played on Conan O'Brien when he did that in the year 2000 segment.
Oh, I remember. We need our flashlights for that.
It's a very high-pitched voice. Somebody in the band, I don't know. But yes. So in the year 2020, what will things look like here? But we have gone way past the year 2000, and we are in the future. Now, I often tell my family when I look at some electronic device like my phone, how amazed I am that I have the technology to do whatever it is I want to do. And I said, as a kid, I always dreamed about living in the future, and we are there. This is it. We've arrived. Mm-hmm. Everything but flying cars. But they will come one day, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, they're here. They're just flying drones, but sitting in a big drone.
We love drones. We love drones in the real estate business. But let's talk about the future of commercial real estate. And I know we touched on this previously, Justin, the impact of COVID. Mm-hmm. COVID has tempered the world into a new way of doing things, and many of them impact real estate, both residential and commercial. Having been tempered with COVID and all its impacts, where do you think we're going to end up after the pandemic is over in the immediate future?
Sure. So where we are right now, I view as a stabilization period. And although we're recovering, we'd all love to see us get back to levels that we were prior. In some instances, we are, as far as residential permit activity. In some instances, we're not quite there. I think breaking it down and looking at it sector by sector is probably important, just because commercial real estate in general is so different by sector by sector. But where we are now is stabilization and recovery, and where we're heading is quite interesting. And we can jump into that if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
So let's start with industrial. And industrial has been obviously a solid market segment in the commercial real estate world for Fort Myers for some time. But COVID has given birth to an extreme focus on e-commerce and delivered goods and services. And We've changed how we receive products. We've changed how we receive products over the last decade. You know, we used to think that getting something via mail in 2 weeks was quick and great, and here it is. Now we're upset if we don't get it in 48 hours. So the industrial market has extreme pressure. We're seeing the outcome of that by birth of new distribution centers. We've already heard about the varying Amazon last mile delivery centers that have already opened in our area in Collier County and Fort Myers. I think we'll see more of that. But industrial has been really interesting and probably the first to make a big shift coming out of COVID. In the office world, it's similar. And use of space is a question mark. It'll continue to be a question mark until we see how many folks return back to the office and we see that happen again.
Well, by the way, not to interrupt, but will they have open floor plans or will that all be
different? And that's one of the question marks is, you know, some of the ultra collaborative workspaces that were kind of the frontier and pioneering of new ways of office working, the shared co-working spaces, I'm not sure how they're going to be accepted going forward. I think some element of that will continue, probably not the same business plan as it was before, but maybe it projects it even farther because the shared workspaces that you can rent for an hour or for a day, maybe that's more attractive because they're not in their primary office anymore. There's a lot of question marks in my mind on that. I wish I could say this is what office looks like, but we don't know yet. What it has for sure is highlighted the form and function of existing buildings, because in our market, you know, in the original boom, as we call it, in the 2003 to 2005 timeframe, a lot of new office product came on market, and new projects were built. They're still here today, but now when you take a look at those projects, a lot of them suffer from functional obsolescence. They were call centers. They have low ceilings. They have a lot of factors and features that we don't, you know, really look at as a prime building feature anymore. And this really accentuated that, because when you're looking at going back into your office space and you've been analyzing it through all this time of not being there and you're deciding whether you really want to go back to your office, now you're really questioning the 6.5-foot ceiling. I'm being facetious, but you're questioning all these functions that you were okay with before. It's going to be really interesting to see how some of the older buildings are dealt with, whether they can be remodeled or maybe they're scraped and rebuilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know in the residential side of things, open floor plans are not in fashion currently.
Correct. Yeah. And people have looked inward and done a lot of things in their own homes. And I think they're doing the same thing in their office environment. Mm-hmm. Another sector is the hospitality sector. Of all of them, hospitality got their butts kicked in the COVID epidemic, especially in the first stages of it. A lot of hotels that were enjoying the 90%, 95% occupancy rates fell below 14, 10%, which is a huge impact. And a lot of those are leveraged assets, so obviously there's a trickle-down effect in what happens there. The interesting thing is about where we are, hospitality will without question come back. It's already starting to come back. Tourism is coming back. The hospitality industry will survive and thrive here because of where we are and what we have to offer. It won't be the same on a national scale, but for us in our little microcosm, that industry is getting back to where it was, will continue to thrive and continue. Retail, which again, similar to hospitality, was one of the hardest hit sectors. Retail shifts so often to adapt to consumer needs that retail, again, will come back, but it'll be different. You know, we've seen some really interesting things that I think are kind of a little too futuristic. We've seen a lot of plans for drive-through facilities that have no in-dining. You know, the fast food restaurants, you can't even go inside if you want. Maybe that catches on here and there, but for the most part, I think that people do want to have the ability to go inside and sit down and have a drink or a bite. But it's an interesting concept. The emphasis of what might change the most dramatically is the experiential retail, the things with high touch points, the areas where you're eating, you're playing games, you're bowling, you're going to a movie theater. I mean, we're at the time of this podcast being recorded, we're still wondering when movie theaters are all going to open back up. So That's a really big question mark. Those are huge spaces. Yeah, I mean, when you look at the bell towers of the world, that's a gigantic building. So there's question marks on retail. I think that people still enjoy brick and mortar and like going to a store and looking at things, but it's changed on how they provide goods, because it's just as easy to go online right now, click a button, and have it at your house in 2 days. So you need to offer something different besides just here's a bunch of stuff and pick one. And that's the challenge that retail faces right now.
Yeah, and experiential has become a very strong trend recently, surprisingly, during a pandemic.
It has, and you know, there's some that are really interesting, and maybe not necessarily a traditional retail segment, but things like Topgolf. Topgolf coming into our market is huge news. Everybody's anxiously anticipated that, and now it's great to see that that project's rolling again, and they're in the vertical construction stage. Topgolf didn't even realize, maybe at the time that they designed that, they built a pandemic friendly environment, because you go there, you have your own individual area where you can be with the people that you come in with, you're in your own sector, you're hitting golf balls, people are bringing you food, drinks. It's almost a pandemic tolerant design that they didn't even know they were doing. So I think those type of things, there's going to continue to be a big emphasis on the outdoors here, which it should be something that we're doing anyway in Southwest Florida. But retail will survive. It'll change.
Interesting. All right. So if you put on your wizard's hat and look into the future in your crystal ball, in 5 years, 10 years, where do you think we'll be?
There's two parts to that in my mind. One of them is, what will commercial real estate look like as far as how it's bought and sold? And there's something looming that maybe some are aware of and others that aren't should be, is new ways of selling real estate, marketing real estate, that are silently us, meaning the realtors and the CCIMs and everybody who's selling commercial real estate or residential real estate, are up against. And that's online platforms selling against you. That's things like Zillow buying homes directly. That's things like 10X, the online auction platform, which is listing property and selling property. That's the silent thing that a lot of folks aren't aware of, that I'm personally concerned of over the next 10 years is, you know, is our art and trade going to be diminished by, here's an online platform that you can put your property on the market, there's no brokerage commissions paid, and you know, there's a lot lost in that, obviously. But that's one side of it, is how does that look like in 5 to 10 years? I think it's a growing presence, and it's something that we need to keep in mind. But as far as commercial real estate itself, similar, it's shifting. A great example, when you look at a major change of then to now versus now to 20 years from now, is things like banks. Bank branches were a huge boom item, and tons of banks popped up around Fort Myers, Collier County, Cape Coral, all over the place. Now a lot of them are empty. Now they're being repurposed. They're being repurposed for things like medical marijuana dispensaries and their prime location buildings. What's that going to be for us now? Is it going to be the Boston market that just went out on 41 that's going to come in with something new? Is it going to be the movie theater? Is it going to be the Sears space that's been torn down and turning into apartments? Redevelopment, I think, is the number one thing that we'll see over the next 10 to 20 years. Redevelopment of big box that was already on the precipice of going down, not all of them, but those that were teetering, that maybe weren't offering services that this generation enjoys going and seeing. Redev of large things that have kind of gone quiet is probably the biggest thing. What about you, Nelson?
No, I tend to agree with that. I think when you look at kind of our area, you know, unless you want to go out more east, we don't really have a lot of land next to the river, obviously, that we can redevelop is the only option for it. So I think when you look at it, there's going to be a certain ability for some of these kind of entrepreneurs who kind of have the foresight to see impact fees are already paid, parking's already there, water management's already in place, and then they can take some of these properties that are a little worn down and tired along 41 as you get near downtown and make them something new, especially as you look at kind of where they're doing future land use code changes and trying to make everything more adaptable to making change in areas. So when you look at that, I think there's really a lot of upside in some of these areas that might be going overlooked.
Have you heard anything about theater operators turning to possibly drive-in movie theaters?
Of course. Yeah. And it's a really interesting concept. That's something that I miss doing.
Me too.
There was a really cool one in North Fort Myers, north on 41, back in the day. Yeah. And that's something I remember driving my wife past and said, that was a drive-in movie theater. No way. Yeah it was.
I think the screen's
and
still up there.
It is. Yeah. And it was so fun and such a lost, you know, thing now. I think we'll start to see immediate reactionary things like that. I'm not sure if they'll stick and hold, but I have been hearing that. I've seen it employed in some Walmart parking lots and things like that where they're doing that. I think it's really cool. I wish it would stick around because I loved that. But let's hope so, right?
Yeah. But you get the audio right.
That's a big thing.
If you go downtown, they're doing it right there on Bayside Street where the Repertory Theater is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. They have their outdoor performance area. And it's kind of roped off, but you can walk by and you can see them doing the outdoor theater acts.
I haven't seen that.
It's very cool.
They project right by the Hall of 50 States.
There, yep,
right?
Yep. Yeah.
Wow, cool. All right, when we come back, we got to take a quick break, but when we do come back, I want to ask you about what people and municipalities, states can do to prepare for a future that will be desirable. So we will be right back after this very quick message.
Hi, I'm Officer Phil Mullen with the Cape Coral Police Department, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hello, I'm Officer Carl T. Kennedy, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Wendy Payton, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Southwest Florida is famous for its beautiful beaches and waterways. The Realtor Political Action Committee fights to protect those pieces of paradise. The environment is crucial to your business and the future of Southwest Florida as a whole. Investing as little as $20 in RPAC helps protect our home and promotes clean waterways and clean beaches. Protect our environment by investing in RPAC today. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
In these challenging times, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association continues to adapt, providing evolving resources and education for our members. We're here to serve our members with comprehensive, new, innovative, and alternative platforms. Through member engagement, community involvement, and ongoing advocacy for property rights, we're committed to empowering realtors with superior service and advancing support for our fellow neighbors. In Southwest Florida, RPCRA is your association.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sanville along with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
And our guest today, we're talking commercial real estate. We're talking about the future of commercial. And we're talking with Justin Tebow and Nelson Taylor. Welcome back from the break, gentlemen.
Hey, hey.
Thank you.
So great to see you. So great to see you here. We have some more questions. That's what we do here. We ask questions. We're curious people. So I want to ask you, again, looking into your crystal ball, what can people do now? Not just individuals and realtors and certain professionals, but municipalities and states and governments do to prepare for the future we want in terms of commercial development?
Sure. So For things that are the unforeseeable, first let's talk about the easier question, which is what can commercial real estate folks do, right? Mm-hmm. And simply put, don't go buy a boat when you close your first deal. Plan for the future and make sure that there's natural dips in our cycles and what happens. You know, generally these are 8-year cycles. Obviously right now we're operating way out of the norm, so it feels like we're invincible, but that's the easy answer is don't be that person. Make sure you plan for the future.
You've seen the SS commission out there.
Absolutely.
Especially now. Yeah. Now you got to prepare for that.
100%. And it can happen quickly. And I think last year in March was a great reminder of that for folks was, you know, we were kind of on top of the world. And then in a matter of weeks, we came to a screeching halt. And it can happen that quickly. And if you're not planning accordingly, you can get stuck. And that's something that residential, commercial, whoever you are in real estate, you need to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Now, the bigger question is what can we as a society, what can we as a municipality, the government do to help? I think a lot of it comes down to Again, similar to the don't go buy a brand new boat, but on a larger scale. It's about reserve requirements and things like that. Nelson and I have been talking about this quite a bit, and Nelson, I think you have a little different view, but I think him and I are very aligned on the fact that in general, outside of planning and, you know, having a disaster response team, there's other things that we can do to be ready for things like this.
Yeah, and when you asked earlier about how COVID changed the landscape, I think you might have seen kind of that from a lot of these different buildings. If they had the reserve funds that they could accommodate new space to make some delivery areas. So when you go to Target, they did do a retrofit of some of their areas to have, you know, kind of the parking out front that would allow the delivery areas. Or if you went to a Publix where it's just the people are setting aside baskets that are preparing to go out to, you know, people that placed online orders. So being able to accommodate shifts with having the funds to do so, I think is a big thing. And I think there'll be a lot of bank requirements that might require a little more cushion for, you know, any type of, you know, 3-month fallout from, you know, maybe you can't collect rents from all your tenants, but you need to have a little bit of money set aside so sure. that you can cover that downturn.
Yeah, and you know, along with that, I think for emergency response, I would call it things like ways to eliminate some red tape. That's something that I think became apparent on the regulation and permitting side of response to COVID. Is there was a lot of bright ideas thrown around, but it took a long time to implement a lot of them on mm-hmm. where we could put COVID testing sites. Why couldn't we do it in this vacant parking lot? Oh, because the zoning, you know, things like that. I think that they're easy to not really think about until you get into an emergency and reactionary situation. But I think that's a big one. And it's easy to say, hey, we should build up reserves. We should have a fund. You know, oftentimes those funds get depleted and the new projects, new ideas, things come up. But now that we've seen what a big impact this has been on our society and our immediate area, it's almost like that should be a given. And there's a variety of ways that funds can be received. There's some that I wouldn't like to promote, and there's others that I would. But that's the biggest thing. It's remembering where we are right now in 10 years.
Yeah, that'll require some discipline.
It will. And it's just like forgetting the boom and bust. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of folks don't remember what it was like in 2009 and 2010. And those are the folks that get burned.
I've heard throughout my life of folks who spent their childhood in the Depression, the 1930s, how it shaped them forever. I mean, they hoard tinfoil and, you know, some exactly. crazy stuff like yeah. that, but that forged them for the future.
And I think not only us as people, I think it's going to be easy for a lot of us to do that now that we've lived through something like this, but on a larger scale, we need to act the exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So do you feel like the Florida and the regional county municipal governments have been doing just that? Do you think they are?
100%.
Yeah.
I got to give kudos to them because, I mean, when you think about a real estate transaction, you got to get a deed. You got to record it.
Sure. And so, they're open for business still.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the political side of it, on opinions of you know, should businesses be open, social distancing, masks, obviously there's a lot of politics surrounding that question. I think in general, Florida's done a great job. And Florida's done a great job from an economic standpoint. You know, when you visit other places or see other places, they don't have the business activity that we have here now. It's one of the reasons, like in another iteration of the show we were on, we talked about unemployment rates. There's a reason why our unemployment rates are so low again here, and it's because we've been able to foster tourism. We've been able to open back up. You know, we missed a season in the first throes of COVID last year. We completely missed a season, which for small businesses on the beaches, the restaurants, and things like that, you can't just miss a season. So, There's varying ways that, and I know there's a lot of opinions on that, and this is just mine, but I think Florida's done a great job.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine the pent-up demand that exists also on the international side when Europeans and South Americans start coming here again.
Absolutely.
And
we don't have that right now. And luckily, there's been a lot of interstate tourism and things like that. But that's a huge factor that we're missing.
It's another wave of buyers.
It is. It's another. It really is. It's the next wave. And that'll be interesting to see you know, just like Nelson and I, sometimes our eyes are popping when we're looking at permit numbers. It's going to happen again.
Yeah, yeah. When you sit back in your easy chair at the end of a long day, Justin, and you think about things, and let's say you're at the end of your career, you're about ready to retire, and you're what do you want to have accomplished that you think will contribute to making this a better place?
Sure. So I think sustainable and for the better of our area development is a key issue for me. I think that, you know, clearly I am a capitalist by nature, and I want to be able to develop projects and sell real estate and do that, but I want to do it in a way that keeps people wanting to come to our area. You know, I'm raising my first child right now, and just like me being born and raised here, there's a lot of things that kept me here and brought me back here that I want to maintain. And I think that's the biggest thing is not just being the big bad developer, but making sure we maintain the qualities of Southwest Florida that keep people coming here. That's probably the most important to me.
What do you see as the biggest threat to that vision being realized?
You know, I think the biggest threat is, but it's also a benefit, is outside capital investment from other states. And it's something that we need. Maybe every project can be built by a Florida developer that was born and raised in Florida. But I think that's something that we have to keep in mind, is when new developments are proposed and brought in from groups that are from much more urban environments, we have to keep in mind that there's some things that might need to be tweaked or changed to make sure that it's not taking away from the character of our area and you know, our stressors on importance of water quality and things like that. It's a delicate balance, because obviously we want folks to be interested in Southwest Florida and keep the economic growth going. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're keeping with why we came here in the first place.
Yeah, that's a great point. They say all politics is local, but I think all real estate is local, too.
Exactly.
That's where you got to pay attention to, the impact on the people who live there. I have seen examples in my lifetime of blight in a neighborhood where some out-of-state company owns a business and they decide to close up shop and it's in bankruptcy court for 10 years.
Right.
It's just an ugly piece of scarred land.
Yeah.
Boy, you don't want that.
And we have little bits of that around here. And we certainly don't want that to continue. Obviously, we want to promote and foster folks coming here that are not from the area. But there needs to be some regulation along with that.
Yeah. Do you think Florida will continue to be a business-friendly state?
I do. You know, it's a question on, and now we're getting into the a little bit political side, but depending on who's coming from where to Florida and for how long, I think Florida will continue to be a business-friendly state.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's amazingly so compared to some of the, especially northeastern states, or if you look at California, where regulations are, you know, off the charts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we were in similar situations as far as regulation in California, I don't know where we'd be right now. We certainly wouldn't be talking about record permit growth, and we certainly wouldn't be talking about such a bounce back with our economy. We'd be having a different conversation right now.
Fair to say you're optimistic about the future?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very. I think we're always cautiously optimistic, and that's why we spend so much time analyzing the data. But I see a bright future ahead for the next 12 to 18 months minimum, and we'll know more as we see, you know, what the Fed starts doing with interest rates and you know, things like that. But all signs point to green right now, Jim.
Good. That's good. Nelson, you're the data guy. Do the data back up this optimism?
It does. It does. There's nothing that's, you know, popping right now that would suggest otherwise. I mean, I think there's still looming factors, you know, what kind of tax implications might we see in the next year? You know, any type of thing like that can always, you know, affect pricing and other things like that. But, you know, right now we got commodity pricing that's going skyrocketing, which is making everything hard to do. But, you know, there's just always little factors like that that can kind of, you know, affect timing of projects and whatnot, and that's all kind of goes back to the feasibility. But all eyes are on this area, and we get a lot of calls from people really wanting to look into this area to do a project. So
absolutely,
it's good.
Yeah, half of them are real, half of them are not.
Correct.
A lot of dreamers out
of
there.
Course. Correct. You can tell those ones pretty quick.
A lot of dreamers. All right. What's one thing that's lacking currently that portends a challenge in the future?
So on the local scale,
yeah.
Really, it's continued exponential job growth. And that's, you know, Lee County and our Economic Development Council and that group do a great job of promoting big business to come here for high paying jobs. With our population increase the way it is, we need more. We need more high paying skilled jobs. We need intermediary jobs. We need a lot of jobs. We just need them. And there's never, you probably couldn't point to any municipality or county that says we've got all the jobs we need. It's a problem that everybody has, but that's just something that they're going to have to stay focused on, because attracting the likes of the Hertz and the Gartners and those type of companies, we need to continue to do that, and we need to promote the reasons why, because we are a business-friendly area, so that continues. Because without that continued job growth, then we'll continue into the, you know, primarily staying as a 55 and older community, which doesn't promote future economic growth. It promotes more tourism and things like that, and in some sectors it does, but we need good jobs here.
Is there any activity here with the semiconductor industry in Florida?
That's a good question.
I couldn't speak to that one. I wouldn't know.
You're the expert on
that. I worked in that industry for National Semiconductor in Santa Clara, California, and later for Texas Instruments. So I was familiar with fabs all over the world, but I never heard of one in Florida.
Well, and you know, specific to Southwest Florida, I think manufacturing is a segment that we don't have a huge grasp on, and that's right. And that's something that, you know, I think that's a good opportunity for this area is manufacturing and technological companies like that. Obviously we have some that are huge and fantastic in the medical world. We have Arthrex, which is multinational, amazing, huge medical company. I'd love to see more of that. And I think we are attracting them. Obviously it takes time to do that, but that to me is one of the biggest factors to make sure that we're heading in the right direction.
Gotcha. All right. Gentlemen, I really appreciate your being here with us today, and thank you for sharing your insights.
Absolutely.
No problem.
Anytime, right. Jim.
Yeah. Justin Tebow and Nelson Taylor from LSI Companies in Fort Myers. They handle it all in the commercial space, land development. They're the experts. What's the address for your website? People want more info.
It is www.lsicompanies.com.
LSICompanies.com. That's it. Write that down, Jerry, because that's the place to go. Yeah. No, I've been to your website. It's really
I'm on it right now.
Well laid out, yeah. Interesting stuff, and I'm really fascinated by the work you guys are doing, and it's all laid out there. So
thank you.
Keep it up, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
All right, Jerry, it's time to say goodbye. What do you think?
I think I'm sad.
Sad?
Yeah, these guys are awesome.
All right. We can do one more show, Jerry.
One more.
All right. No, we got to get out of here. We are coming to you again from Fort Myers, Florida, and at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, where we are grateful for our CEO, Beata Jones, who does a great job and supporting us. We also want to thank all of our listeners. We're a little bit remiss in not mentioning some of the folks out there listening in Atlanta, Georgia, Boardman, Oregon. We had a download yesterday from Santiago, Chile.
Wow. Yeah. Any from Maine?
Yes. Maine is a very, very popular download spot. We're all over the world. And I'm going to quiz you sometime, Jerry, on
we are worldwide.
How many cities we're in. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So in any event, it's always a joy to be on this side of the microphone talking with you folks, and we do appreciate your listening. If you want to get in touch with us at the Royal Palmcast, you can do so by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. shows@rpcra.org. We would love to hear from you. That's it for the Royal Palmcast, and we will look forward to talking with you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.